Today, June 5th, 2005. I'm Alan Joyce, and this is the Everything Digital Podcast.
The Everything Digital Podcast. If it's digital, you're going to hear about it. Unless it's Windows.
All right, it's the Everything Digital Podcast, Sunday, June 5th, 2005. And a slightly new recording setup, or actually slightly old, different than the last one anyway. I'm back to GarageBand today, which means probably a little higher recording quality. Some people were reporting some problems with buzzing when the recording was especially quiet. I think I can attribute that to QuickTime recording at too low of a volume, and then as a consequence of that, me having to place the microphone closer to my mouth, and then my voice was maxing out the microphone. So that was probably the buzzing that some people were hearing when I was talking. And it should be resolved now. GarageBand records at a much higher level, so I don't have to have the microphone so close to my mouth. Doesn't max out the microphone so much. So it should be a lot better. I've had some problems, though. I've actually done a couple takes now. Usually getting to about this point, because GarageBand is a little higher, has a little higher processor demands than QuickTime does for recording audio, especially since it generates the waveform as you're recording. So obviously slows down the computer a bit more, a bit harder to handle, but overall better recording quality, so I think I'm going to stick with it. Although the QuickTime option is definitely an alternative, and really an easy way to do it. If you're new to it and you don't want to really get into the more complicated GarageBand stuff or the even more complicated features of some of the other programs, QuickTime's, you know, a nice, easy way to record audio. So, but that's not what I'm here to talk about, because I know that's probably slightly boring you, if not fully boring you. So why don't we get on to the technology news and those five-second news headlines. MSN South Korea recently suffered a break-in when hackers planted password-stealing software that remained for days undetected. Microsoft is embracing XML as a new format for its Microsoft Office suite, allowing for greater document compatibility. Yahoo and Cisco have joined forces to create new technologies designed to protect against spamming and phishing. Sony has entered a legal battle against British resellers that are importing PSPs from the US and Japan to sell them domestically. And Google is implementing a new feature, Google Sitemaps, that allows webmasters to automatically notify Google when a page is updated. Those are just the short headlines. There are, as always, links to the full stories in the show notes at everythingdigital.org. All right. So, got a lot to talk about today. Plenty of stuff building up in the last week or so. The first thing, and I posted this on the weblog yesterday, and this is pretty big news, that Apple may be, and probably is, at least according to CNET, going to switch to Intel processors. So apparently Apple will make this announcement Monday, tomorrow. So if you're listening to this tomorrow, you probably are listening to this on Monday. They will have already made the announcement. They're planning to end their partnership with IBM and the PowerPC line of processors in favor of Intel processors. They'll make the transition in phases, starting with Intel chips in the lower-end computers in mid-2006, but will eventually work up to higher-end computers in mid-2007. It may require many developers to modify their programs if they want to take advantage of the new chipsets, although OS X is supposedly already partially compatible with Intel processors. Rumors have been circulating of talks between Apple and Intel for probably months now, but no confirmation has really been released until now from CNET. This is possibly due to IBM's recent problems with producing cool and altogether low-power chips, especially with the PowerBook G5 line, or the still yet-to-exist PowerBook G5 line, and also some issues with just getting low-power chips that can produce a sustained battery power with a very low amount of heat being generated. So there have been some problems with the PowerPC line, but Apple's been working with them for, since, what, 1994 or something? I'm not sure exactly. However, there could be good news in this transition, since Intel's chips, or some of Intel's chips, are definitely lower heat, lower power, and not necessarily lower in processing power. So they may look to Intel to design the chip for the PowerBook G5, which we've so long been waiting for. However, if they did, it wouldn't be called the PowerBook G5, would it? Because G3, G4, G5 are all PowerPC processors, so it would probably be something like the PowerBook Intel 2200, which would kind of lose its effect. A new Bluetooth security flaw has surfaced. We get one of these every couple of months, and usually not a big deal since Bluetooth only has a range of 30 feet. But in some public places, obviously, it would be possible for a hacker to just sit there and get plenty of devices to get into and steal contact information, things like that. Well, researchers have found that by monitoring a device while it is pairing with another device, it is possible to gain access to the first device, or the second device, if they so desire. The hacker would assume the MAC address of one of the devices, and the MAC address is the ID, the Bluetooth ID that identifies a device as far as communicating with other Bluetooth devices. It would spoof the MAC address of one of the devices and therefore be able to impersonate that device in the connection. The hacker could then send a request to pair again, saying it, quote-unquote, forgot the password. And then it could quickly go through each of the 10,000 possible security keys, which would take a computer less than 1 second. So once paired, the hacker would be able to access contact and calendar information on the device, pretty standard, as well as make calls and send SMSs, as with pretty much any other Bluetooth security flaw that's out there. So basically, to avoid this, if you're worried about this, don't pair in public. Simple as that. If you're not pairing at the time, this flaw can't be exploited, so just don't pair in public. You can be paired, say your headset to your phone, but just don't mess around with the settings, or there is this flaw there, which will probably be updated out of any new devices coming out in the future. HP is offering their own version of the iPod Mini. It's definitely taken a while. HP says the iPod Mini will be available for purchase from its website today, Sunday, and on shelves not long after. HP will offer the same prices Apple is offering for the Mini themselves, and they will also offer removable printable tattoos for the iPod Mini, featuring over 300 images, including album art from various bands. Another joint move by Apple and HP, which will hopefully bring the iPod into more retail stores nationwide, and globally too, since HP definitely has an advantage as far as deals with retail stores, since Apple basically just sells things out of their own stores. HP has the connections to allow Apple to sell the iPods in a range of different stores, pretty much anywhere. Got some PodSafe music for you here. This is from Monkey on GarageBand.com. This is You Don't Know on the Everything Digital Podcast.
inside it feels so frustrating. And we can spend our whole lives hating. What we need is a man special. You don't know what love is. And now you keep telling me you don't know.
Alright, and that is You Don't Know from Monkey off GarageBand.com, of course. So, I am a subscriber to Scott Fletcher's podcast, or PodCheck Weekly Review, and on his last episode, he had an interesting, or actually on his last episode and the episode before it, he had an interesting approach to podcast sponsorship. He basically set out a model that he would accept $10 for a complete sponsorship of one podcast. This is in response to the Weblogs Incorporated autoblog being sponsored for something like $70,000 a show from, or maybe it wasn't that much, but it was it was a whole lot from Volkswagen, or not, no, Volvo, right? I don't have the facts on this. I'm just remembering from what he said. It wasn't 70,000. It was probably more like 7,000. But still, pretty amazing there. So the approach he took was basically anyone out there who has a website or a service they want to promote, PayPal me $10 and you've got one of the shows as being sponsored by whatever you're promoting. So I figured, hey, I'll throw this out there. You can PayPal me $10, and you get a complete sponsorship of one show. I mentioned your product or service several times during the show and posted it on the website with the show's entry. And you get complete sponsorship. Now, I don't know if anyone's actually interested in this. I'll probably have someone offering me $2. But I thought I'd throw it out there just to see if anyone's interested. You can email me, alan@everythingdigital.org, if you're interested. You know, I don't think anyone would mind little 5 seconds here or 5 seconds there devoted to a sponsor each show. And hey, $10 a show really helps me sponsor bandwidth costs and recording equipment and stuff, so helps me there. What else have I got here? Oh, an interesting thing I came up with. Kind of a hack, basically a way around paying for an iPod waterproof case. Now, iPod waterproof cases are can range in price, but the really good ones, or at least the ones that actually keep your iPod safe if you want to go in the pool or ocean or something with it, are about $150, $149.95. And those come with waterproof headphones and a full-on case that protects the iPod from any water that could possibly splash on it, and any water that's around it if you go in the pool or anything like that. However, for a substantial amount less than that, why not just get an iPod, an iTrip, which you might already have, an FM transmitter. You can buy them for like $22.99 or $34.99 direct from Griffin. And a waterproof radio, $12.97 for a decent one. So I decided to try this out because, hey, why buy something for $150 when you can do the same thing for $23 and $13? So I've tried it out, I've already got an iTrip, hooked that up to the iPod. Just went to a pool supply store, got a waterproof radio, cheap waterproof radio, and went ahead and tried it. Pretty simple. Everything worked fine. The reception wasn't especially great, but I'm sure with the little iPod extender antenna extension on the iPod mini iTrip, it shouldn't be too hard to boost that signal enough that you could get pretty decent reception anywhere you go within probably 60 feet. For me, it was about 30 feet, which caused some trouble in some cases, but pretty much it's a little lower quality than you'd get for with a waterproof case, but for how much is that less? For about $100 less, it's pretty well worth it. So just thought I'd mention that. It's a nice solution if you were thinking about taking your iPod in the water or finding some way to do that. So Dell is planning a new high-end PC line, possibly to compete with the PowerBooks, but can't really guarantee that. Dell says the new brand will be the Lexus of their lineup, and prices will range between $1,200 and $3,500. The new machine should be similar to the current XPS lineup and include multimedia consoles, towers, mini towers, desktops, and laptops. Dell is also planning a large-scale advertising campaign featuring the new PCs, and especially focusing on their harmony with other Dell products, including printers, scanners, digital cameras, that kind of thing. As sort of an all-in-one, buy all our devices and be in technology heaven type thing, until you buy them and figure out that they don't actually work together without these drivers and those drivers and those drivers and that CD and that connection cable and et cetera, et cetera. iPod Linux, our friends at iPodLinux.org, have just added unsupported support for video. It's a new patch that allows video playback through the iPod Linux OS, which is, of course, a separate operating system that you can install on your iPod, and then when you reboot, you have the option of launching right into that operating system. You can record at higher qualities and play games and now watch videos. The videos aren't especially high resolution. It only supports 24-bit AVI files for now, and, of course, since most iPods have black and white screens, you're going to be getting black and white videos. And I believe there isn't any sound to them either, but I think they're working on that. The patch is currently unsupported, but it is known to work on all current iPods, excluding the second-generation iPod Mini. The iPod Linux website has the installer for download, along with sample videos pre-formatted for the iPod. And also, MakeZine.com, Philip Terone did a demonstration with all his iPods. He's got so many iPods. He's got pretty much every iPod that's ever existed, and he tried this video hack on all the ones that are supported. And it's pretty interesting to see it, to see video actually running on an iPod. Pretty cool site, and definitely something to check out. iPodLinux.org, they should have a link to the videos section where you can download the installer. I haven't actually had time to try this out yet, but definitely, as soon as possible, I'm going to be getting this firmware, iPod Linux firmware update that supports it, and hopefully playing some neat videos on my iPod, which, even though they're black and white, well, it's better than just viewing photos. Got some outro music here. That's all I got for today. This is from the David Linkhammer Band. This is About Time. So, you can post comments at everythingdigital.org. You can subscribe to the Everything Digital Podcast at everythingdigital.org/rss.xml. You can email me, alan@everythingdigital.org. And don't forget, if you're interested in sponsoring an Everything Digital Podcast for $10, you can email me about that. And just PayPal me the $10 and you got yourself a sponsored show. My Skype ID is Everything Digital. My AOL Instant Messenger IM name is Podcaster. You can call 206-9-THE-EDP or 206-984-3337. Leave an audio comment. Other than that, thanks for listening. and stay subscribed.